Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Disrespect, so when I bust my rhyme, you break your neck. We got 5 minutes for us to disconnect.
All the band is out on the field. He's looking for the ball. We are so away from tradition, because when we be out, girl, it's full of that. Smith caught him right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks.
Let's get into it. Pass comes into Jordan. Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo.
Let's get it started.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba, and we're back, and so is Kyle Schwarber. What's up, Xander?
Not much. Kyle Schwarber is back, and I tell you, what a great story this is. I mean, a guy who hasn't played, I think, since early April comes up, and to me, the first game had the two best at-bats of the game. I know the Cubs lost 6-0, but, I mean, for a guy who hasn't, you know, played in that long, for him to look this good at the plate, I mean, it's almost a miracle.
I think it just goes to show, you know, some guys, you know, we talk about that a lot. Some guys are just better than everybody else, and he could be one of those guys. I mean, you know, Pete Rose on Fox said he'd strike out 3 times, and you know, everybody was critical. Even myself, I didn't care about the at-bats. I just didn't think it was good for the team chemistry, but it turns out it's been a great addition. And he is just an animal. I mean, he just looks like he's above everybody else. I didn't realize how good he really was, but he just appears to be better than everybody else.
Right, and I didn't either. I mean, you know, it was unbelievable to just, I mean, even the walk, the game one, watching him walk on that full count against Kluber, I mean, to have that good of an eye, you know, off a guy who's probably got one of the best, you know, power slurves, I'd call it, in the game. I mean, it was amazing. And now, you know, game three, Aaron on Saturday, but we're going to break down game three right now, what we think is going to happen. Schwarber is out of the lineup tonight. You know, doctors didn't clear him for, you know, being on the field. I thought it was an interesting question, though, Bub. Had they given him the clearance, do you stick him in the outfield or do you leave him on the bench for a pinch hit situation?
Well, I think the way he's swinging the bat and the energy he brings, you'd have to put him out there. But one of his problems, and this is, I said this last year, the reason the Cubs got beat up by the Mets last year was because Schwarber and Solar suck in the outfield. And you know from being an athlete yourself that the ball always finds the guy it's not supposed to find. And you can't hide him. That is the real problem when you have put a guy out there like that, because he's a liability. And in a tight game, in a key spot, as happened last year 3 times against the Mets, the ball in a key spot, the fly balls went, and they buffed all 3 of them. And that's the problem. So it's very hard for me until he gets really healthy, because even at 100% health, he's not that good in the outfield. That's really how he got hurt, is because he's kind of clumsy out there. He's just an unbelievable hitter. And he needs to do a lot of work on his defense before he can really be considered a good outfielder.
Right, and I thought the post-game breakdown game two by Pete Rose, A-Rod, Frank Thomas, I mean, they had a really interesting discussion. And I was actually on Frank Thomas's side. They didn't know yet whether or not he was going to get cleared. But, you know, I'm from the school, you know, the Cubs, they've been the best team in the majors all year. They played some fantastic defense. And I know that he gave them a huge spark at the plate, but, you know, I think you're a big favorite in game three. You've got, you know, your best pitcher on your team, I'd consider this year, Kyle Hendricks throwing. You're, you know, 2-1 favorite. I just think the Cubs need to play, you know, great defense, and that's what they've been doing all year. So regardless of whether he was healthy, I think you leave him on the bench for a pinch hit situation. But it would have been a really tough decision. I mean, the way he's been swinging the bat these first 2 games, but Cubs are actually going with Soler in right field. I'm not a big fan of it. I know Hayward has been astronomically bad at the plate this year, but I mean, the guy is one of, I think, the best defensive right fielder in baseball, or one of. And, you know, honestly, I would take a hole in the lineup, you know, to put a guy out there who I know is going to make some plays against Kyle Hendricks, who's not really a power pitcher. I mean, you know, an unbelievable pitcher, but relies on an upper 80s fastball and a great changeup, keep guys off balance. You know, I want the best defense out there because I think this Cubs lineup is so powerful. They're going to put up runs off Josh Tomlin, but, you know, we'll see how it goes. But I'm not the biggest fan of Soler out there.
No, I don't like Soler out there either. I mean, he's another really DH, and Hayward is, you know, this will be his fourth game in a row. He's been on the bench, and
right, $184 million sitting on the pine. That's another pretty big storyline, I think. Well, never would have thought that at the start of the year.
You know what? The problem is that he's a good athlete. He's going to figure it out. But the problem is that he kept trying to figure it out within his old swing, and he's going to have to go back, you know, in the winter and in the spring, and just break down his swing and redo everything and start from scratch again. Because you just don't lose your batting eye all of a sudden. I mean, he's going to have to go rework it, but it was too hard to do it in season. But I think you're right. I think he should be in the outfield for this game. But I think it brings up a more interesting story for next year, because you've got Schwarber coming back. You've got Fowler, who is really the heart and soul of the team. Okay, I mean, you know, you can say what you want, but when he's out of the lineup, they haven't played as well. And, you know, right, you've got Hayward, who, if he gets himself squared around, and, you know, paying him $184 million, it's not like they're going to leave him on the bench. You got Zobrist. Who's the odd man out of that group, right? You got five guys for three spots. Who's the odd guys out? You know,
that's really tough. I mean, you know, it's hard to, you know, eat such a big contract that they gave to Hayward. I hope he figures it out, because I mean, you know, the guy is a very good defender, and that's something that kind of goes unnoticed. You know, like an offensive lineman in football, casual fan, you know, you ask them about an offensive lineman, they really have no idea what they're doing in the game. But, I mean, it's a big deal over the course of a year. You can save a couple games with your glove. And like you said, you don't just magically lose your batting eye. But I just think Hayward, to me this year, it just every error kind of compounded on itself, and just, I mean, his last couple of bats I've seen him take in the playoffs have just looks lost. And I think it's going to take some time next year to figure that out. But honestly, I couldn't answer that question right now, who's going to be the odd man out. I mean, I think Wilson Contreras steps in next year as your full-time catcher. So, I mean, he's not going to be playing the outfield at all. But, I mean, Ben Zobrist, how about that? Back-to-back years, this guy's in the World Series for two different teams. And he was on the Rays with Joe Maddon. I mean, that guy is a winner. So many great pieces on this Cubs team. And I thought, Game 2, that was a huge victory for them. I was okay with them losing Game 1. You know, they ran into a buzzsaw. I mean, Corey Kluber, you know, one of the best pitchers in the league, and absolutely shut him down. They had a rough first inning, but came back Game 2. Arrieta was fantastic. It's great to see. And they really just took it to the Indians. So they kind of played each other's game in 1 and 2. And I think Game 3, this is the biggest game of the series, because, you know, if you go down 2-1, I think it's over.
Yeah,
I think the Cubbies are going to win tonight.
I think the Cubs may sweep the weekend. I mean, I just, you know, it's the key game is going to be tomorrow, because you've got Kluber. But, you know, again, Kluber is a great pitcher, but he does have a tendency, and throughout his career, is to have a little rough start. Now, he did not have a rough start in Cleveland. He kicked ass, but it was 43 degrees as well. But he was great. But usually he has been known to give up some runs, and, you know, if he gives them up too much, I don't know if they have the firepower, because they got their own problems, and their problem is putting Santana out in left field from a DH or first base to get the bat in the lineup. But now, again, he has not played the outfield in probably 20 years. Who knows? He was a catcher, first baseman, now in the outfield. But we'll talk more about this and other sports stories when we come back from the break. This is The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. And, of course, remind you that when you want to go listen to the show, you download it at LibertyTalk.fm, and you can get the Bubba Show there as well. This is The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. We'll be right back after the break. The Sporting Edge.
Technically, no, but
I'm smarter than the devil.
Welcome back to The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. So as we finish up on the baseball, Xander, I think that you know, it's going to be a good series, but I do think the Cubs may lose it, but I think they're the better team. Cleveland's done a hell of a job with patchworking their lineups together, but I heard Francona, he's got no interest in putting Salazar in the starting lineup. And really, other than Kluber, you know, they've got nobody. And Miller's been unbelievable. Once again, he got out with bases loaded and nobody out and got out again. I mean, the guy, he's like a magician. But any last thoughts on baseball?
Well, you know, I think the Cubs are going to take this series in six games. I think the Indians are going to win one over the weekend. And I'd have to think that they're going to win with Kluber on the mound. He definitely gives them their best shot. And like you said, that's really where the starting pitching ends. I mean, Trevor Bauer, you know, was very up and down this year, but you saw in game two was just nowhere near a match for the Cubs lineup that, you know, Kluber shut down in game one. So the Indians bullpen, it's going to be a huge factor, and it's been pretty damn good so far. I mean, Andrew Miller, to me, he's the best pitcher in baseball. You know, starter, reliever, I think he does the most. Just electric. I mean, the motion is kind of like Madison Bumgarner. He brings the ball behind his head, just a filthy slider, and, you know, a mid-90s fastball that's already pretty hard to hit. But, you know, that's going to be a huge test for the Indians. Is their starting pitching going to hold up a little bit? I mean, I would take five innings from an Indian starter other than Kluber. I consider that a success. But I don't think they're going to hold up. I think the Cubs lineup is too powerful. And along with the Cubs pitching, I think Cubs pitching is much better. I think Kyle Hendricks is going to put on a show tonight. I mean, guy's always around the zone. He's been there all year. I don't see why it would change. And, you know, first World Series game at Wrigley, I think, you know, since 1945, it's going to be an electric city. I can hear all the drunk people yelling from Bloomington.
Oh yeah, no, it's going to be wild. And you know, obviously, unfortunately, we always have to talk about a few bad things on the show. And you know, of course, I guess the 76ers tried to block this person singing the national anthem. I mean, are we getting freaking nuts in this country or what?
Yeah, you know, I guess it was about a shirt had a political message. I think it said "We Matter." I was referencing the Black Lives Matter movement, but you know, they came out and said it was a mistake. But I agree with you. I don't even know why it had to be made an issue in the first place. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, NFL ratings are down, and I can bet you that they're down partially because of what Kaepernick is doing, and you know, again, he's every right to do so. I'm not taking away his right, but I've always said it was the wrong venue, and I think that you're seeing the ratings are taking a hit for it because, you know, one thing about the national anthem, no matter who you are, no matter what's going on, everybody usually tries to participate, and it just becomes a bigger story. And I don't want to make it a bigger story now, but I just thought it was something to think about because, you know, again, we're starting to see more of these things happen. And now the NBA is into full swing. You know, we first week, and any surprises that you've seen so far, other than what's his name putting up a gazillion?
Anthony Davis. Yeah. Well, that was really great to see. I mean, Pelicans struggled a lot last year. Anthony Davis was banged up all year. Really didn't have a good year. I mean, the guy was pegged, I think, to be the next big thing in the NBA. And I thought the first game, scoring 50 points, grabbing 16 boards, was a great step in the right direction for him. I mean, it was great to see. He's a great player. One of the most surprising things to me was, you know, the Spurs coming in and kicking the crap out of Golden State in game one, 129-100. I guess 82-0 will have to wait for next year.
Yeah, you know what? I was not surprised. In fact, I did have San Antonio on the money line in that game. I actually expect Golden State to struggle a little bit early because I think that they're going to, I think bringing in Durant is a little bit different when you're playing at real game speed, and they've all got to kind of get used to playing with each other. So I was not surprised at all. I thought they were a big overlay there to begin with. And Popovich is Popovich, and he's got, other than a couple of guys, he's pretty much the same team, but they play that same system all the time. But I thought LeBron had a big night. But back to Davis real quick. I mean, you know, he's always been the top. And, you know, in our draft, he went in the third round because he never plays more than 55 or 60 games a year because he always ends up getting hurt.
Yeah, so, I mean, that'll be a big thing this year if he's able to stay healthy. But, you know, talking about the Spurs game, I mean, it's amazing. You know, Tim Duncan leaves and, you know, a guy who I think, you know, is already kind of one of the best players in the NBA, but we're really going to get to see him shine is Kawhi Leonard. The guy is unbelievable. I think he's definitely going to take over the role of being the guy in this team. If he wasn't already, I mean, it was hard to say that with Tim Duncan there. But now that he's gone, I think Kawhi Leonard, you're going to see, is one of the top five players in the NBA. and this unbelievable defender as well. I mean, the guy's in the running for, you know, defensive player of the year almost every year. And, it, you know, I thought you made a great point about the Warriors. Kind of reminded me of the Heat a few years back when they first came together and kind of had a rough, I'd say, 20 or 30 games to start the season. They looked pretty bad, I mean, in comparison to what everybody thought. But, you know, when you bring superstars together, it takes a little time to mesh and see how the game's going to work out. So, the regular season in the NBA is one of the more boring things in sports to me. Playoffs are nice, but, you know, I think the Warriors are going to make the playoffs, so it doesn't really matter.
Right.
But, you know, it could take a little time to get used to having, you know, adding one of the best players in the NBA to your roster that's already the best team in the NBA.
I mean, look, the NBA is the boringest sport during – I mean – honestly, I don't even like to watch it when there's nothing else to watch. And that's pretty hard for a guy like me, other than I got fantasy action. So that keeps me interested. But I'd rather watch the stat board than watch a game, because the game, they ruin that game. It's just not even, it's in my opinion, it's really not even fun to watch. People love it, so I'm certainly in the minority there. But, you know, some other interesting things going on. And I guess, you know, what did you think? What did you think about Jim Harbaugh? The highest paid coach, $10 million. What do you think about that?
You know what? I'd have to say he's worth it. I mean, if you look at what he's done to this Michigan program from the minute he got there, I mean, there was such a quick turnaround, and Michigan football was kind of a laughing stock, you know, for 6 or 7 years before he got there. I mean, they, you know, were a notorious powerhouse, and they kind of, you know, fell off the wagon. They were brutal. And, you know, in a period of getting there and then this being his second year, the guy is unbelievable. He's won everywhere he's gone. I mean, he's got this team firing on all cylinders. So I know that, you know, it seems like an absurd amount of money for a college coach, but I'd have to say that he's worth it. I mean, if he's not there, Michigan is not in the top five. They might not even be in the top 25. And I think you got to give a lot of credit to the guy.
Now listen, he turned around Stanford. He turned around the 49ers, and look at the 49ers now. I mean, you know, not that it was all him, but I mean, you know, look at the 49ers now. They suck, and, you know, interesting. And you know, what do you think about, I mean, is Alabama good or what? What a story there. I mean, you know, what there's a 12th game in a row or 11th game in a row, they scored a touchdown, not on offense, and they've outscored like 100 teams just on their defense.
I mean, you know, that was the classic, what we said last week. I said, you know, either it's going to be a close game or Alabama's just going to, you know, capitalize on one mistake and run away with it. And it was sad. I mean, you know, Texas A&M, it was really in that game for a long time. They made one mistake, and Alabama, I've seen it so many times, they just obliterate somebody. I mean, you saw it the week before at Tennessee, the close game for a little bit, and then, you know, they just start running free train on the highway, and then they just explode. And this Texas A&M team, I think, is a very good team. And that just kind of shows you how good Alabama is. And we had a big shakeup in the rankings this week. The Nittany Lions took down the Buckeyes, 17 unanswered fourth quarter points. They blocked a field goal late in the game and ran it back for a touchdown. I was shocked by that, Bob.
Your mom is still crying about that. So don't worry about it. I told her. I said they're going to lose this game. You could see it coming. And listen, the two games that they've lost in the last couple of years have been simply because, for whatever reason, they think that they've got the game won. They turn the Jets off, and as you know, as an athlete, it's hard to turn them on and off. And you got to get that engine going. And You know, I can tell you what, they're going to win out, and I'm going to predict right now they're going to beat Michigan, okay, and screw up Michigan's season as well. And that loss will be much more critical to Michigan at the time, because it'll be late in the year, Thanksgiving weekend. But, you know, a lot of things, we got a lot to go over. We're going to step out here for a break. This is the Sporting Edge, and make sure when you miss an episode, you go to libertytalk.fm and download the Sporting Edge every week, as well as the Bubba Show. The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. We're going to stop by here for a break, and we will be right back with more football and some of our great selections. The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. So, Xander, we were talking about the things going down, and of course, Ohio State go down, and Harbaugh with all his money, and what are you seeing here? We've got the rankings keep getting shaken up, but of course, Alabama is just, I think, farther and better away. And you know, what's really amazing is I think this quarterback is something special too. That I think this is the first time that I remember that they had a really good quarterback. I mean, what's his name was drafted? I can't remember his name, but a few years ago, the guy who was dating Miss America. But I think this quarterback is really has a chance to be special. And if they get a special quarterback, I mean, they will be literally unbeatable and like double-digit favorites in every game they ever play.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about him last week, Jalen Hurts. And the thing, he's a true freshman. I mean, he's going to be here for a long time. And, you know, Alabama, the defense, it's like a factory over there. They just keep producing the same product, and it happens to be the best product in all football. But, you know, talking about the rankings, got a new team at number two. That's Michigan, the Wolverines. Clemson stays at number three. And Washington moves into the number four spot. If the season ended today, they'd be in the college football playoff. And, Bob, I think out of all these teams in the country, I think Washington could give Alabama the best run for their money. I mean, you know, they got a great offense. They got a lot of speed on the outside, and their defense is playing really well. I mean, they do have the number two scoring defense in the country, and I've seen them play a couple times. They're very good, very underrated. I mean, Washington is not typically known for having, you know, this strong of a football program. They're always pretty good, but, you know, they've just been winning all year. They've been beating the crap out of teams, and I would love to see them get a shot at Bama if they can, you know, keep the season undefeated and get into the playoffs.
You know, I think they're good, and I like them, and you know they've produced some good players over the years, but I think that they're not in the same league with some of these other schools. You know, one of the things is you know, this is kind of like my theory about, you know, good pitching always shuts down good hitting, right? And good defense, and their defense is good for who they're playing. But they're not playing guys that are built like these guys. They're not playing these muscle guys that, you know, and they have one after another. And don't get me wrong. I mean, if they can get on the loose, but we've seen, you know, teams with that kind of offense, you know, can't get on the loose. And if they can't, look what happens. They just get pounded in submission and they get beat down. Now, again, any given day, I wouldn't be surprised they win, but I would say right now, if the game was playing tomorrow on a neutral field, Alabama would probably be about 15 or 16-point favorite.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, that's why we get to see. I'm hoping that maybe Alabama beats them 99 out of 100, but I think this could be the one time this year. But we got a lot of time left. There's going to be a lot more shakeups in the ranking. And I think, you know, one of the games of the week, I know it's a 25-point spread, but Michigan travels to Michigan State. If you remember last year, that was probably the craziest ending to a football game in the history of football when Michigan fumbled that punt and Michigan State ran it all the way back, you know, basically to destroy Michigan's season. But 25 points, I think this will be a dogfight, Bob. I mean, I do think Michigan is probably 25 points better than Michigan State, but I think it's going to be a hell of a game.
I think they're probably 30 points better, but the point is you're right. And you know, this is the old college football, okay? In the old days, and style points counted, I think Harbaugh would want to win by 100. And he still might want to win by 100. I mean, he might be looking to lay him away. But I would agree with you here. that if you're going to play a side in this game, it's got to be State. It does have some rivalry, but, you know, there's always that revenge factor. And, you know, athletes in college, a little bit different. And I think they've got a chance. So I do agree with you that that looks to be a tighter game than the 25.
Right. And then, you know, Michigan State, I know they're 2-5 right now, but they were ranked in the top 10 at the start of the season. So, I mean, I know they've got some talent. They have obviously not put it together this year. But, you know, I think if they beat Michigan, it'll basically, you know, it'll be the lone victory of the season. I mean, they're not going anywhere in a playoff. They're not going anywhere in the Big Ten. But, you know, if they did happen to beat Michigan, I think, you know, that'd be a huge stepping stone and you know, kind of a celebration of the season, even though they're 2-5 right now. So it's going to be one of our official picks. We got Michigan State +25. A couple other good games this week, Bub. We got Nebraska traveling to Wisconsin. Wisconsin is laying 9 right now. This Nebraska team is awfully feisty, though. I mean, Tommy Armstrong has really put together, you know, a solid performance this year. And I think Nebraska comes in and upsets Wisconsin. That's my opinion.
Well, I got news for that. That was my highlight game of the week, Nebraska. You know, now I think...
Great minds think alike, am I right?
100%. I think Wisconsin is a very good team. Okay, but there's one problem, in my opinion, that Wisconsin have, and they can't really score. They're not a team that can really run it up there. And Nebraska can now. You know, Nebraska's kind of changed their look. You know, before you were born, they were, you know, the ground and pound. They were the veer running option. That's all they did, and you know, that's all anybody did. But I can't see Wisconsin as a 9-point favorite over just about anybody. And I think Nebraska's actually a better team. So I do like that, and I do think that's a pretty big overlay. So I am in a 100% agreement. So that would be our second official pick.
Okay, and then I think another game of the week, number 3 Clemson travels to number 12 Florida State. You know, I think this season has kind of been a disappointment so far for Florida State. I mean, they came in very highly touted as the number 2 team in the nation. And if you remember, they got destroyed. One of the biggest beatdowns I've ever seen against Louisville, I think it was in week 3 or 4. But they have a chance for redemption here. I mean, if they were to come in, well, actually, Clemson's coming to them. But if they were to beat Clemson, I mean, if they ran the table the rest of the way, you know, maybe that opens the door for them to get back in the conversation. Because I don't think Clemson is as good as they were last year. I know they haven't lost yet, but Deshaun Watson, they really haven't put it together in my mind. I know they're still the number 3 team in the nation, but I think this is going to be another great game. And, you know, 4.5 points, I could lean either way, but I think Florida State's going to win this game straight up. I think they're going to pull off a shocker. And, you know, Franz Klaus may come in.
We'll have to call this game a no play because I think Florida State is awful. I don't think they're anywhere near what they thought they were. I think the quarterback's struggling. I think that they've got a lot of work to do. If they won, would I fall off my chair? No. But would I put a nickel on them? No. I would not bet one dime on Florida State, and they are one of my favorite teams. So I'm really got to be against them to not even consider them. And I looked at them, and I looked at the card this week, and I said, not a chance. Because to me, they may cover, they may win. But to me, I think you had a much better chance of Clemson kicking the shit out of them and showing what's really going on. So, you know, that's my opinion. So we'll have a no play there. What do you think about the... You know, I think this is an interesting game, just Ohio State, Northwestern. Okay, you know, Northwestern, all of a sudden, they couldn't beat anybody to they're beating the crap out of people now. And now you got Ohio State coming off a loss as a 4-touchdown favorite against Northwestern. What's any thoughts there?
It's interesting. You know what? I mean, coming off of such a bad loss and coming in Northwestern and playing some great football, 27 points seems like a lot. I'm going to err on the side of Urban Meyer. I think this team is going to kick it into gear this week. I think he's a great coach. I don't think they're going to come out and disappoint. And you know, funny story, I remember when I was 7 years old, I saw the Northwestern Wildcats beat the Buckeyes at Ryan Field. I think Ohio State was a top 10 team in the nation. So maybe they relive some of that magic, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think Ohio State is a very good team. They just happen to have a terrible quarter against a Penn State team that I thought was a little underrated going in, but I mean, that was very un-Urban Meyer-like, you know, to be up 24-7 in the fourth quarter and blow that game, or 21-7 and blow it. But I think they come out hot this week. I think JT Barrett is a great quarterback. He's gonna put up 6 touchdowns. That's my opinion.
Well, they got caught napping and they got beat. All right, well, we'll call that one a no play. Do you got any last games, or are you gamed out? Because I got one left as well.
Well, I'm gamed out, so let's go back to you.
All right, well, I think in a team that has gone from the highlight every week, the ugliest uniforms and the fastest team, and of course your guy Chip Kelly came from there, and they were awesome, they become putrid, and they now match the color of their uniforms. And you got Arizona State coming in. Now, I had a handicap the game. Is Arizona State should win the game straight up, and they're getting eight. Okay, I don't get the line. Again, listen, linebackers are smarter than I am, so I understand that, but I don't see it. I think this is a tremendous overlay, in my opinion, and I'm going to take the money line as well here because I cannot see Oregon, as awful as they've been, and they don't seem to have anybody, and they for sure can't stop anybody. Any opinion?
I like your opinion. I mean, I haven't seen Oregon on the spreadsheet all year because they haven't been in the top 25, so I haven't even watched them.
So, you know, it's one of those things, and of course, we're going to come back and talk about pros, but before we go to the break, did anybody not know that LeSean McCoy was hurt before he played last week's game? I mean, are these guys freaking nuts? Can you tell?
I think the only people who didn't know was the Bills coaching staff.
I mean, can you tell me what the hell they were thinking about? To me, I mean, you got a guy who's one of the best running backs in football. Agreed?
Yep.
Okay. How the hell can you try to put him out there when he's not even close? Now they're going to lose him for this week and possibly for weeks after because they couldn't. I don't know. I don't get it. Didn't make any sense to me, but this is the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. We're going to step by here for a break. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every weekend as well as the Bubba show every day. The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. We will be right back after the break. Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. So, Xander, here we are, and of course, we talked about that ridiculous. I mean, like I said, I guess nobody knew that the guy was hurt, and they play him, and you know. But I thought it was interesting. How about the Bears basically saying Cutler, you're done, and they're not even going to bring him back next year? Any thought to that?
Things must be rough behind closed doors with Jay Cutler and Coach John Fox, and. Basically said we're not going to play. They're going to start Brian Hoyer the rest of the year, but you know Brian Hoyer got injured. I think there's nowhere to turn now. I mean, the Bears season is a lost cause. They're 1-6. I hope they go 1-15. I mean, there's really no point now in them winning games except you know they're them getting a worse draft pick.
Right.
I'd love to see him.
God, I'm sorry.
I said I'd love to see him. You know, not tank, but they just have a terrible team. So I don't see him winning very many games. Kept it close with the Pack a little bit last Thursday. I think it was, but I mean, you know, they're terrible. All facets of the game.
Well, I did say that before the year started, so they're just proving me to be a prophet to be able to predict how bad they were going to be, but they do suck. And of course, obviously, a couple of key injuries. CJ Anderson probably out for the year for the Broncos. And, you know, not that they don't already have enough trouble. And of course, Cleveland looks like Josh McDowell's coming back. Of course, he'll get hurt again. I mean, they've only gone through 92 quarterbacks this year.
I think they've had six so far this year. I mean, the Browns are terrible, but, I mean, that six quarterbacks, you're talking about guys who might, you know, might not even be on the practice squad. I mean, I don't know any team who keeps, I think, more than three or four. But, I mean, I think you got to give it to Hogan, the kid from Stanford who I, you know, watched him at Stanford. It was a pretty good college quarterback. Never thought I'd see him play in the NFL. Just, you know, wasn't that type of guy. Wasn't that good, but. You know, he ended up running for almost a 40-yard touchdown, threw a couple picks, but, you know, he had over 100 rushing yards. That was pretty impressive. I mean, it's a tough spot to be put in, you know, to go in there with, you know, pretty subpar offense in your first NFL game and do that. But, I mean, he showed some stuff, but I thought, you know, a big storyline was Andy Dalton getting back on track this week. I mean, A.J. Green's been phenomenal all year, but Andy Dalton looked great. Jeremy Hill ran for 170 yards. I mean, the Bengals' offense was clicking, and that, you know, Hail Mary at the end of the first half was brought a tear of joy to my eye. I mean, I had daily fantasy. I had the Dalton-Green combo. I mean, that was awesome. I know he got Green on both of our fantasy teams, but, you know, I thought that was big for that offense to get back on track. I mean, they were 3-4 team right now. I think it's still pretty good, but, you know, time's running out. We're at week eight. We're halfway through the season, but, Bub, how bad is Brock Osweiler? I think the guy is one of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen play. I mean, he was on pace. He wasn't going to get to 100 yards unless they didn't get those two last garbage time drives.
Well, I don't want to say that I was another prophet again, but I said that from the beginning of the year that he was going to suck. And this is always the conundrum in football. The backup quarterback is always the number one guy. Everybody wants him. He didn't look that good last year with Denver. You know, we remember Denver was a defensive machine, not an offensive machine, and they didn't have to do much. And now he's expected to do something, and he's just – now maybe he'll get better, but you know what? He's starting to remind me as a not as good as Blake Bortles, because that guy looks like a dog too now all of a sudden. I thought he's going to have a good year. He looks horrible. What do you think?
Oh, my – dude, Thursday night, that I know his stat line does not tell the story of that game. He threw for over 300 yards and three touchdowns, but –
Right.
Half, I think.
60 yards,
right,
yeah.
70 yards.
60 yards that they have throwing, 5 yards running the ball, 0 points, 27 to nothing. You know, you get those garbage stats, which obviously fantasy guys love if you got those guys. But he looks awful. They looked awful. They looked like they quit. And I don't, you know, Gus Bradley must not be a very good coach. That's just in my opinion. I mean, again, I can't, you know, when a pro team quits, it's really challenging.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's been so disappointing. I didn't know. I thought the Jags had a chance to maybe go like 9-7, 10-6, you know, maybe. I didn't think they were going to be, you know, bottom of the barrel every week. I want to throw up when I watch them. I mean, they're terrible. They got annihilated by the Raiders last week. And, you know, the game against the Titans, I mean, the score, it could have been 100-0. That was just all around a brutal game. You know, defense looks bad, and Blake Bortles, I mean, it looks like he's taking a huge step back, you know, after a great year last year. So I don't know. It's tough to say. Gus Bradley, should the guy have a job coming into next year? I'd say probably not. I mean, four losing seasons in a row, lose a lot of games. And this year, I think this was a year they needed to show something, and they really haven't so far. And getting beat by the Titans, who are by no means the cream of the crop in the NFL, it was embarrassing. You know, I saw a thing that said, you know, Shad Khan, the owner of the Jaguars, met with the team, and I'm sure he had some not very nice things to say about him, but there really is nothing to say except that they stink. So, I mean, next year they got to do it, and I think they probably fire Gus Bradley by the end of this year.
I hope so. I actually, as I took the kudos for being right, I will say that I thought they were going to be very good. I thought they were going to make the playoffs, and they're awful. They're awful to watch. They're not fun to watch. Now, I don't know if that's the coach and the play calling, or if that's the players around it. That I can't really see. I don't get to see him enough. But, you know, have some interesting games this week, you know, coming up. And, of course, Tom Brady continues. So he is amazing. You got to give the guy credit, 39 years old. He looks like he's 20. But
yeah, you know, he says he wants to play till he's 50. And right now, I don't see why not. I mean, he hasn't regressed at all, I think, in the past decade. And he's the same guy, you know, no mobility, but I mean, it doesn't matter. That's not his game. I mean, he's probably the best, one of the best quarterbacks of all time. And, you know, week in and week out, I mean, he looks like it's like a computer game. I mean, he's so good. And now that Gronk's back to full health, so many weapons over there. It doesn't even matter. Even when he never had weapons, he was still amazing. So
as long as they keep him upright, he seems to always have a chance. They're right. 6.5-point favorite at Buffalo. Do they avenge the loss, and do they cover?
I think they avenge the loss, and I do think they cover. You know, game scares me a little bit, you know, just the Bills-Patriots, Rex Ryan rivalry thing, but Tom Brady is 12-4 against Rex Ryan. Defenses is more or less lit them all up, and, you know, I think this Patriots team, it's not going to be like facing Jacoby Brissett. This is not going to be a 16-0 game, or the Patriots can't get anything going. And the Bills, I mean, not having LeSean McCoy, I'm pretty sure he's not going to play this week. That's a huge loss. I mean, he's been the focal point of the offense all year. Tyrod Taylor, you know, he's okay. He can make some plays with his legs, but I mean, without McCoy, that offense, I think, is going to take a major hit. And, you know, I think this game is going to be more or less a blowout. I think the Patriots are going to get at him early.
We won't make this an official play because I actually think that that Buffalo is going to keep the game a little tight. You know, I think it's going to be a little cold, but we'll see. And then, you know, we've got of course, your team, Cincinnati Bengals, and the Washington Redskins. What do you think? Washington travels to Cincinnati. Any thought in that game?
I love the Bengals this week. You know, Washington is coming off a tough loss. Did not look very good last week. They're 4-3, but, you know, I think the Bengals are starting to find something, and I think they rattle off 5 or 6 games in a row here, and I don't think this game is going to be really close either. Key thing for me is, Can they continue to run the ball? I know Jeremy Hill had a big game last week. He only came on, you know, 9 carries, and they got up and gave a lot of time to Gio Bernard. But I think when this offense is at full force, I think it's one of the most balanced in the NFL. You know, you got Jeremy Jeremy Hill is a great running back when he's on. I mean, we saw last year, it was kind of a struggle after his great rookie year, but I mean, you got Gio Bernard, a great pass catching back. And you got a true number one wide receiver with Tyler Eifert coming back. Right. Was a Pro Bowl tight end last year.
You're good. We'll call that a neutral game either. I kind of like the other side, but I think the key game of the week is for Arizona. That's your team. Okay, we got about 45 seconds. Carolina, Atlanta, field goal. Does Arizona save their season and move forward, or are they going to get their ass kicked again on the road?
I think they're going to lose. They're not going to get their ass kicked, but they're going to lose. Carson Ballmer's having a rough year. It's not going to pick up. Panthers are going to show up.
Are the Panthers going to show up is a question. They haven't showed up. They haven't showed up yet. I think you're still waiting for them.
Time.
we're still waiting for them to show up. So it's pretty much of a mishmash, and not a lot. You know, we're getting through the last of these bye weeks, and but a lot of teams are in trouble, and of course, even the Vikings might be in a little bit of trouble. We got to see if old Sam Bradford can come through. But this has been the Sporting Edge, and of course, we will see you back here next weekend. But when you miss the show, LibertyTalk.fm allows you to get the download of the Sporting Edge as well as the Bubba Show. For the Sporting Edge, Xander and Bubba signing off. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll see you back here next weekend. And go Cubbies, the Sporting Edge.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.